Take your Bibles now, go to the book of Mark. You may remain standing. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12. Mark chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 35 through 40 responsively. I'll begin in verse 35, all the way through verse number 40. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse number 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost that the Lord said to the Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them, Is this doctrine? Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. And the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uttermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive a greater damnation." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that we're not left here with man's philosophy and man's ideology, but Lord, you gave us a book to follow. Lord, we thank you for giving us a preacher, Lord, that loves you and that loves your word and that preaches your word. Lord, as we listen this evening, Lord, may our hearts be open. Lord, may our minds be clear. May we be yielded to you as we listen. Lord, may we listen with the intent, Lord, of not just hearing, but taking what we hear tonight and applying it to our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
You may be seated. Jesus here in Mark chapter 12, is in a conversation with a scribe. He is talking to a person with the title of scribe. The scribes were highly educated people who hung around the powerful religious people. They hung around the powerful political people of the day. Let me make this statement, and everybody look at me when I say this. Scribes were not necessarily spiritual people. They were the people of enough character to have high education, but they were not spiritual people. They had a lot of knowledge, but most of them were so full of pride that they were so arrogant about their knowledge, they looked down their Pharisaical snoot at everybody else. Scribes are the ones who wrote official legal documents of the day. The land leases, divorces, judgments, sales of property, etc. They also, due to their study of Levitical laws, would write religious documents and commentaries. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Most of you, let me rephrase that. I have no commentaries in my library. Commentaries are man's ideas of what the Bible says. How about we throw the commentaries out and read the Bible? Say, preacher, which commentaries do you use? Do you use Matthew Henry? No, I don't. Anybody who's got enough time to write commentaries is not a soul winner. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to say it. Oliver B. Green. Oliver B. Green wasn't writing all of his doctrine. Just so you know. Now, I think he was a good man. But when his health went bad, he went to writing, getting puffed up in his education, and changed. They were not bad people necessarily, but they were inflamed with pride because of their knowledge and their self-importance. These were the legal beagles of the day. They were the ones who would look for the slightest little error in what somebody said while they were preaching. They were going to test whatever the preacher said. Now, folks, I'm going to make some mistakes from time to time, but I promise you it won't be a doctrinal mistake. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, there you go. Scare me for a second there. I have people who will listen to me, and they will criticize me because we've had people leave this church over the fact that I'm too strong in a certain area. I had somebody tell me that I was wrong on repentance, and when they told me what they believed, I agreed with them 100%. But because I didn't say it the way they wanted me to say it, they left our church. Guess what? I'm not changing. Repentance is not turning from your sin. It's turning from your own self-righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The act of getting saved is the act of repentance.
Yes, sir.
You can't turn from your sin. Say, why? Because you're going to turn to another one. Because you're a sinner just like everybody else. Scribes hated Jesus by the time of the New Testament. They were out to get him. He was fulfilling everything that they had studied. And Jesus started the church in Matthew chapter 16. Now listen to this very carefully. This is where I need your minds. Look right at me if you will. As Jesus started the church, he was condemning the temple. He was doing away with the temple. That's why you find Jesus and the disciples preaching at the temple. The temple wasn't the church. They were going there to show them Jesus had fulfilled or is fulfilling everything about it. That's why they got really wound up right before Easter, right before Passover, right before Jesus was crucified when he said, I'll tear down this building in 3 days, raise it up again. They said, well, it took how many years for it to be built? And you're going to build it up in 3 days? He said, I'm not talking about that structure. I'm talking about this structure. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Temple worship was done away with at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
Jesus had fulfilled everything about the temple. He had fulfilled all the Levitical laws. He had fulfilled all the sacrificial laws. He had fulfilled every one of the feasts. That's why in Colossians chapter 2 talks about nailing to it the holy days and the sacrifices and all the ordinances. All those were fulfilled at Calvary. Jesus fulfilled it. And he said, get rid of the temple. Let's go to the church. Guess what? The scribes didn't like that. He was omniscient, but they acted as though they knew more than he knew. Their pride had so inflated them that they could not and would not see the truth. They refused to see Jesus as the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They didn't like that. The Bible says something here that we often miss. That's what I want to focus on tonight. Look at verse number 38. And he said unto them, watch these next words, in his doctrine, correct? So he's about to state what a doctrine is. Guess what the doctrine is? Beware of the scribes. Beware of the scribes. Tonight, I want to preach to you about the doctrine of beware of the scribes. It may be the strangest doctrine in the Bible. It is definitely the strangest sounding doctrine. May I say this? When Jesus called it a doctrine, that means it is a fundamental belief. It is as fundamental as salvation by grace through faith. It is as fundamental of a doctrine as baptism by immersion. It's as fundamental of a doctrine as the New Testament church. It's as fundamental of a doctrine as any other doctrine in the Bible. Jesus equated beware of scribes with salvation because he called it doctrine. By the way, these are God's words, not mine. Tonight, I want to look at this doctrine of beware of the scribes. Number one, I must hurry. Scribes were religious and piously cultured. Let's look at verse number 38 again. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing. Sound like some kind of churches that you know? Whose choirs wear robes too? which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. That's people that would go out and stand out in their long phylacteries and honk if you love Jesus, or car wash for Jesus, or something like that. Verse 39, and the chief seats in the synagogues. Ooh, they were rubbing shoulders with the big boys. And the uppermost rooms at the feasts. They were eating in the fancy restaurants with the religious people and the political people. Which devour widows' houses. They didn't care who they stepped on to get there. That's your, who's the cow bubba in Texas? Joe Holstein. folks, this is the crowd that the more money you give, the closer to the preacher you get. Just so you know, I don't know what you give and I don't give a rip. I don't care if you don't give at all, just come, you can get close to the preacher. And for a pretense, make long prayers. These are the people that get up and when they pray in public, they got to read their prayer because they can't remember what they're talking to God. These are the people that use long, fancy words when they pray. Can I tell you something? Jesus said in verse 37, and the common people heard him gladly. Jesus was a common man preacher. You see, they wanted to be seen as above the common people. Everybody listen to this statement. They wanted to be seen as above the common people. I told this young man before he came to work for me, I'll take care of you financially. Our church will support you, but you're not going to get rich. You're going to live at a common man's salary. Say, why? We shouldn't live above the people. I told Brother Dorsey, if he comes back and works for us, you ain't going to get rich. You better make your money now while you can. Because you're not going to get rich. You'll be comfortable. And our people will love you and they'll take care of you. And they're going to want you to have more than I may let you have or that I'll take. You say, why? Because we should live where the common person lives. Everybody doing okay? When I bought my Fusion out there, my wife and I were looking at cars. I had the ability to buy the car I wanted, but I didn't. Say, what did you want? A 2015 Mustang, blue, black rims, 302 in it. Yeah, buddy, that's what I wanted. It's not real practical for a preacher, though. I didn't need my wife getting all those speeding tickets in it. But she would look cute in it, amen? She looked cute, which, God, doesn't matter, but really cute in that Mustang, let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. You say, why didn't, preacher, you had the ability to, why didn't you? Because I want to live where the common man lives. I am not going to live above. Now, I'm going to reference something here. It's not racial. Everybody knows me well enough. No, I'm colorblind. I don't care. But I've worked with the black folk all over America. They turn their preachers into a little bit of a pedestal. That's why they run around with the fancy suits. They wear the $500 and $800 suits. They wear the fancy gold rings. They drive the big old Lincolns and Cadillacs. They live way above the people for whom they serve. Please don't get mad at me. I find that hypocritical according to scripture. I'm not mad at black preachers. Don't get me wrong. I love to hear a good one preach. Ooh, buddy, get me motivated. I've preached I was in the south side of Chicago, trust me. I've been in South Carolina. I've been in LA. I preached in Compton. Try that one once. I went down on 5th Street in downtown L.A. and preached at the rescue mission on 5th Street in L.A. Do you know all the pictures they're showing you of the mess down in L.A. right now? I preached on that street. I know right where that's at. I took my mom and dad down there once. And my mom had twin calves. My dad was about to have a calf. Get me out of here. Oh, it was exciting. I was having fun. Now, wait a minute. I've reached a lot of black folk. I've preached to a lot of black folk. I've helped a lot of black churches. I've been in a lot of them all over. Can I tell you something? Be careful. We ought not live above the people. And the scribes purposely lived above the people. They made friends with important people so that they could be seen. I mentioned my friend Brother Fugit this morning. He met with President Trump this week. Got to ride in his limo and spend time with him. Great. He didn't do it to be seen. God has used him uniquely to help his state and now has an influence nationally with reaching some of our political leaders. He's not doing it to be seen. I texted him on Thursday morning and said, I hear you had an exciting day yesterday and got to enjoy something that few people ever get to enjoy. He said, I'm truly humbled, Brother Bush. I really am. I said, I know you are. I said, I'm glad it was you. I said, you're saving America with Commonwealth Baptist College, but you're also helping the people who run our country hopefully draw it back to God. I said, you're the exact kind of person who should rub shoulders with those kind of people. He didn't do it to be known. These scribes made friends with important people so that they could be seen. They talked about how much they knew this person and that person and this person and that person. And look at me, how important I am because I know them. They wore fancy religious or legal clothing. They looked like they came out of GQ magazine. Folks, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before we put robes on the choir around here. We're not going to go the Catholic direction. Everybody doing okay? I ain't wearing no robe. Now, when I had shingles, I thought about it, but it would have been indecent exposure. That's about the only thing that I could wear at that time. But I wasn't coming in public to do it either. Now, wait a minute. These people enjoyed being around the rich and famous so they could build a name for themselves. That is what the scribes were. Jesus spoke and lived so that the common man would gladly hear him. The scribes made fun of Jesus' fundamental style. Oh, he's very weak. All he does is tell stories. He preaches in parables. He doesn't exegete the scriptures. He wrote them. They criticized the one who authored the book that they thought they knew. The scribes called him old-fashioned. A rebel. Oh man, I've had those labels for a long time. The scribes were repulsed at his lack of refinement. They were the ones that when the disciples went through the cornfield, they grabbed corn off and took the husks off and wiped it off and started eating it. And they said, oh, you're eating corn without washing your hands? Oh, you're breaking the laws of cleanliness. He told them where to go. Scribes mocked his topical style of preaching. Can I tell you something? You go through that book right there and show me any other sermon preached other than topical. We have in our country today people, and I'm talking about Baptists. I'm talking about so-called fundamental Baptists that say, well, we need to understand the historical point of what's going on so we understand the scriptures. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What part of that is not history? I don't have to understand that Paul was in prison when this was written because it wasn't written by Paul in prison. It was written by God before the foundation of the world. For it to be in context doesn't matter where it was written or who it was written by. By the way, did you know there are the words of Satan himself in Scripture? Put there by God? Lost people have their words in here. Everybody doing okay? These people want to impress you with their intelligence. And we need to exegete the scriptures correctly and not make a pretext out of a context. Most of you don't even know what the word pretext or context means. Contact's something you put in your eye if you don't have glasses. Amen? I did battle with one of those people this week. They were questioning. And I'd fired both barrels, reloaded and fired again. Say, why? Because let me tell you something. Man cannot think in context. He needs it applied to him personally. That's how the common man lives. This is not a piece of prose. This is not a novel. This is not poetry. This is the living word of God. It is alive today just as it was in the days that it was written. That's why we need it applied to us today. Everybody doing okay? And when somebody talks over your head so far that you don't understand a stinking word they say, what good was it? A sermon ought to be a greasy wrench. It ought to be a spatula that can be used. It's not supposed to be a museum piece. If you can't understand it, what good is it? Put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach it and open up the jar and smear it all over everything. See, the scribes were religious. They were pious. They were holier than thou. Number two, I've got to really hurry. Scribes were part of the crowd that crucified Jesus. I want you to use your Bibles tonight. Turn to Mark chapter 14, just a page or so over. Mark chapter 14, look at verse number 43. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, with him a great multitude with swords and staves, watch this, from the chief priests and the what? Scribes and the elders. Look at verse number 53, same chapter. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the they were the ones that crucified Jesus. Turn back to Mark chapter 10, verse number 33. Mark chapter 10, verse number 33. The Bible says this, as soon as I get the page turned, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. We could go to Mark chapter 8, verse 31. It talks again about the scribes being there, conniving and trying to get Jesus tripped up so that they could crucify him. It is the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests of the temple who crucified Jesus. These weren't good people. These weren't people that loved God. Well, they knew the scriptures. No, they knew their part of scripture and thought they knew more than they knew. I know people that think they know a lot of scripture, but they haven't seen anybody saved in the last 3 years. I don't care how well you know that book. You don't know it well enough if you're not keeping somebody out of hell. Everybody doing okay? Jesus had authority from God, and it challenged the scribes' authority. Look at Mark chapter 1. I love this verse. Mark chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 7, verses 23 through 29 say virtually the same thing. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as scribes. In other words, he had the authority to back it up. Every once in a while, somebody will come here from what I call a denominational Baptist church. And I'll cut loose like I did last Sunday night, throw a fit. I'd say hang from the chandeliers, but we don't have any. Hang from the LED panels. Just shoot everything that moves. And they're like, well, that's not really our style. In other words, I spoke with authority and not as the Twinkie that they wanted to hear.
Right.
No lace on my underwear. They wanted a preacher that got a spaghetti noodle spine.
Right.
Not happening here. I don't wiggle when I walk, and I'm not cowtailing for truth.
Amen.
Turn to Matthew chapter 23, and I'm not going to read all these verses, but when you get home later, read verses 1 through 11. But Matthew chapter 23, I'm going to read verses 13 through 15. But if you read all of first half of Matthew 23, look at verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against them, men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffering ye them that entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer, therefore shall you receive a greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shall compass the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. In other words, these scribes are sending people to hell with their legalism and their fancyism and their piety. Everybody doing okay? Matter of fact, these scribes compared Jesus to Satan. Look at Mark chapter 3. They literally called Jesus a cult. Sound familiar? Mark chapter 3. Look at verse number 22. There it is. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, or the devil, by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, it cannot stand. And they literally compared him to Satan. They called him Satan. They called him an occult. Folks, I've been called a cult leader so many times, I just laugh at people anymore. By the way, that's where the Mormons and the Jehovah's false witnesses tell you that Satan and Jesus are brothers. Satan and Jesus are not brothers. Jesus had authority above Satan. Satan was a created being. Jesus is God. There were some scribes in the Bible who were decent people. That was in the Old Testament, like Ezra. Ezra was a scribe, but he was not full of himself. The scribes of today are the denominationalists in the cultured contemporary Baptists of our day. These are the ones that have gone to the sing-songy churches and the follow the bouncing ball on the computer screens, and the big movie screens, and they're very contemporary. Their auditoriums look like movie houses. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They got the recessed lighting, and the auditorium's dark, and the platform's all lit up bright. And they've got all the shows, and they've got their orchestrations, and they've got all their giant screen TVs, and they'll have their announcements on their TV so that they can save time. We will email you we'll text you your church announcements. They have ATM machines and things set up in their churches so people can give. Folks, I'm not saying it's sinful, but boy, we're sliding down a slippery slope at that point in time. Number three, I got to hurry. Scribes brought people's sin to public and accused them as guilty. I won't take time to turn there, but you can mark it down. John chapter 8, verse number 3. That's where the woman was accused of being caught in the very act of adultery. You've heard me say this before. I'm not sure she was guilty of it. Hebrew law required the man to be brought too. Where was he? Jesus said, woman, where are these thine accusers? He didn't say, where are these people that found you guilty? He used the word accusers. Now, she may have been caught at some point in time, but not at that moment. I don't know what sin she had done, but they wanted to stone her, and they wanted Jesus to lead in the stoning of her. And he said, let him with no sin cast the first stone. Boy, they got out of there in a hurry. Those were the scribes. In Acts chapter 6, verse number 12, the scribes are the ones who brought Stephen to his knees and stoned him to death. He was preaching to the scribes, got them so wound up, they picked up rocks and started throwing them at him and killed him. You go to Acts chapter 6, you'll find out that it was the scribes to whom he was preaching. This is the crowd that wants to public shame on church discipline. I am so tired of fundamental Baptists going what they call church discipline. Well, there are certain sins that just need to be exposed publicly. Show me in that book where God says expose it. List the sin. Show me book, chapter, and verse. And before you expose somebody else's, let me get up and expose yours. Amen. Well, you're just trying to cover people's sins up. I don't have to. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And whether you know about his sin or my sin or her sin or his sin, and that's a lot to know. If you know about somebody's sin, what good does it do you anyway?
Right.
You can't forgive their sin. Only God can. So why do we need to bring it before a bunch of people to run their fat mouth about somebody?
Amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
All right. Whew. Number four. Man, I want to stay there for a while. But point number four is even better, so hang on. Jesus called separating or being aware of scribes a doctrine. That's what I want you to see tonight. It is a fundamental doctrine by Jesus himself that we beware of and we separate from scribes. Now we're going to put on our big boy shoes and big girl shoes, and we're going to be big boy and big girl Christians for a while. I did say that appropriately, all right? That means this. We must be careful of who our associations are. We need to be careful as Christians who we listen to, who we read, and who we follow. Okay, I'm going to say it. I'll probably make somebody in my own family, not in this church, extended family, mad at me. Be careful of the scribes of Christian radio. I'm talking about FBN radio. A lot of people preaching on FBN that preach lordship salvation, repentant salvation, and they're wrong. I didn't say all of them. Now, Brother Roloff's on there. Listen to him scream and holler and kick things over and beat the snot out of you. Go for it. But there are people on there you have no business listening to. Say, who is that? You bring me the list you listen to, I'll tell you which ones are approved, which ones are not. There's preachers in California you shouldn't listen to, i.e. Jack Treber, Paul Chappell. Everybody doing okay? I could go down the line. Say, why? They're not right in their doctrines. I'm not saying they're bad people, but they're becoming scribes, and they now have institutions putting out scribes. Everybody doing okay? Be careful of scribes who write books. Whose books are you reading? Oh, who's the real suave Southern Baptist guy from about 20? Yeah, Charles Stanley's one of them. Yeah, Chucky Swindoll, that's it. Chucky Swindler. Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley are as wrong doctrinally as you can get. You might as well go to the Catholic Church than to read or listen to them. Everybody doing okay? James Dobson, Hocus Pocus on the Family. James Dobson built a $30 million complex in Colorado Springs, Colorado. 25 million of it was paid for by the Catholic Church. He went to public universities and got his psychiatry degree and psychological degree, and now he puts perverted scripture to it and calls himself a Christian psychologist. I've driven by his campus. Big old statue of Mother Mary out there. And yet, people in here think he's the bee's knees. Well, I wouldn't even call him the bee's vomit. Because at least bees vomit honey, amen? At least it's good for something. Be careful whose books you read. You can do what you want. I've gone through my library just in the last 3 weeks and thrown out several books. Because there are men whose books I had who have now changed, and I went through and went, boomp, 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 threw them out. I'm not saying what was in those books was bad, but I don't know when they started turning bad, so why should I read it? Everybody doing okay? I love you. See, but it was a good book. So, I don't know at what point in time they started changing. I don't want it to influence me. Now, here's the doctrine of beware of scribes. We need to be careful of our friends who run with scribes. Let's see here. Brother Barnes, can you come up here for a second? Since you were so energetic this morning. Brother Josh, I'm going to have you stand up. Here's a scribe. Here's a Pharisee. No. Here's one of our friends. You hear me preach against those people. But he decides he's going to spend more and more and more and more time with this guy. Now, wait a minute. I'm still standing here. I don't say, how about you come over here and preach for me? How about you come to my church and teach Sunday school? Uh-uh. Because what's he going to do? He's going to run back over there. And then when he comes back over here, guess what he's going to bring with him? Stuff he got from over there. And I don't want what's from over there. So I don't let these people influence me. I'll be kind to him. I might even take him to lunch if he's buying. But I'm not going to spend a bunch of time with him. I'm not going to buy his books. I'm not going to have him come preach for me. Everybody doing okay? All right, you may have a seat. Now listen to me. Let me show you what I mean. I am going to be as discreet as I can. It doesn't work real well. But recently I know a preacher who took a church to pastor. Was there for 3 months, hired an assistant. His assistant pastor was on his honeymoon, came back from his honeymoon, started work on Monday, and the pastor resigned the church on Sunday because he wants to go work at a college out west. Not only was he unethical, but where he's going is so far outside of what he has been running in, he showed himself of what he was. Everybody doing okay? That's called running with scribes. By the way, a year ago I started noticing who and where he was preaching with. And I said, I'm going to give it a little time. I sat with Brother Dorsey in my office the very day that took place. I didn't know it at this point in time. I said, I give people like that 3 to 5 years so I find out where they land. I said, I like this person. I've spent time with this person. I know this person. But I'm not sure where this person's headed yet, so I'm going to give them 3 to 5 years. 2 to 3 hours later, he said, preacher, guess what? You don't need 3 to 5 years. Look. Showed me the message. I didn't trust the message. I called somebody that would know it. I got a hold of that person and found out it was true. He said, that's a pretty good policy to live by, preacher. I said, yeah, it is. That's why I do it. That's called the doctrine of beware of scribes. Everybody doing okay? Be careful of churches and colleges who become breeding grounds for scribes. Just because it was decent 20, 30, 40 years ago doesn't mean it's decent anymore. I'll finish and I'm done, I promise. Jesus called it a doctrine. Just as salvation and baptism and tithing are doctrines, beware of scribes is a doctrine. God wants us to be careful of the influences around us. God wants us to be careful of those with whom we associate, either by reading, by listening to and preaching, even the people with whom we fellowship. Be careful, beware of scribes. Say, preacher, you could get a little lonely. Yeah, it's a shame. I only have God and a whole church full of people. I'm really lonely. Can you tell? Just because somebody used to be right doesn't mean that they have not changed. It may be the strangest doctrine, but I promise you, for the Christian, it's one of the most important doctrines. Beware of scribes. It's a doctrine. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll be honest with you, I don't enjoy that sermon. But I must preach the whole counsel of God. Maybe we ought to look at who we're friends with and put a little distance between us.